Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gifts of God that is within you through laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed an herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what he has entrusted to me. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. May God bless this reading to our understanding and our living. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when what you have entrusted to all of us, even the living word of the living Jesus, may be treasured in our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning with a painting done in 1924 called Mending Socks by Archibald Motley. But the picture for me is kind of evocative of my great-grandmother, Mary Jane McMakin. Mary Jane, you'll never have heard of her. She was a poor woman, a farmer's wife, who never got much education in life. But I stumbled across her obituary one time when kind of nosing through my grandparents' papers. It was cut out of a paper sometime in the 1950s, and it described the way she died. She was in her kitchen, sitting in a rocking chair, or chair very much like the one pictured here. And in her hands was her Bible, resting on her lap. She was reading it in preparation for teaching Sunday school. But the paper said it was very appropriate that she died that way. Now, I am not ashamed to number Mary Jane McMeekin among my forebears in the faith. There's a family story that was often told, and one of those stories I kind of grew up with, how she, as a young girl, arrived from Northern Ireland. Her father had gone ahead of the family, as they so often did, to gain foothold in this new country. And the mother was left behind to take care of her. She was the oldest in the family, and her younger sisters and brothers. And then somehow to manage all this brood of kids onto a ship, and it was a sailing ship in those days, and cross the Atlantic and arrive in Montreal, then find a way to a train to Toronto. And from Toronto, they walked to the area, we'd call it kind of northern Mississauga, southern Brampton now. They walked there, this brood of children. And it is said that my great-grandfather was working in a field, and he said to the farmhand next to him, "Look at that poor immigrant family. It looks like they just got off the boat." And it was a few minutes later that he realized it was his family. What a story of courage, of strength. I'm not ashamed to own that as part of my heritage. It's amazing that Paul wasn't ashamed in his day and time to point out the strength and faith of women as being those to whom his associate Timothy owed a debt of gratitude for the faith that first lived in Lois. It's nice to have a Lois in the congregation today. And the grandmother Eunice. And all those to whom Timothy owed his way and faith. Paul wasn't ashamed to note this matrilinear legacy. And Paul was in prison at that time. It might have been seen as a mark of disapproval of God and society. But he wasn't ashamed of that either. Nor of all the suffering. Sometimes, you know, you hear from people, "I've lived a good life, I've gone to church. Why do I have to suffer? What has gone wrong?" That was not a question for the early Christians. Their faith actually invited suffering and estrangement and brokenness into their lives. But they knew that they had been given something that relativized all that pain and suffering of their world and time, even the unjust suffering that they had to face. So Paul boldly says in this letter, "I'm not a prisoner of the Romans. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and there is my freedom over all the trouble of this world, and I'm not ashamed of that freedom. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. And Timothy, my young friend, I encourage you to sink your roots deep into that truth and joy, to let that flame rise high in you." The letter's really kind of a sad letter. Paul talks about how his friends and associates had turned away from him. But it is that letter of triumph, the one he closes with that great declaration of his faith, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. There is now waiting for me that great crown of glory, and not only for me, but all those who have trusted in this great gift." I I love the ambiguity in this passage. We're going to sing finish by singing an old-time hymn, "I Know Whom I Have Believed, and Am Persuaded That He Is Able to Keep That Which I've Entrusted Unto Him Against That Day." But in the Greek, there's a double meaning here. It's not only what we've entrusted to God, but what God has entrusted to us. And in the course of this letter, it becomes clear that that is the real joy of this passage. Because God has entrusted to us the truth of the triumph of love over death, and reconciliation over separation, and justice over all the evils of this world. And as God has entrusted that to us, and to those who have passed it on to us, so we enjoy, have the real privilege of sharing that with all those we encounter. It's a beautiful thing when you see it happening. This is Walter McWilliam. Now, Walter is an incredible story, but perhaps a more incredible story is the one who tells his story. His name is Brian Stevenson, and he is a lawyer who wrote a book called Just Mercy. Well, there's a play on words there, Just Mercy. And then he tells something of Walter's story in telling his own. Brian grew up the son of a working-class black couple in southern Delaware, and he experienced the last of the Jim Crow laws in the U.S. And this is in our lifetime. He's 54 years old now. And Brian's grandfather was murdered when he was 16. His grandfather, 86, he was murdered for an old black and white television. But that didn't turn Brian bitter. It turned him believing in the vision and truth of his faith that there had to be a better way than this. He went to Eastern Baptist University in Philadelphia, a Christian college, and through that gift, he was able to earn his way into Harvard Law School, and he graduated from Harvard. And the riches of the world were before him, but he chose to dedicate his life to working among the black poor of the South to bring that just mercy that he knew in his faith was their destiny. He believed enough in the deposit, what God had entrusted to him in that love and life of Jesus Christ, and he believed enough in the American justice system that he could actually start to make it work. And Walter McWilliam's story is one of his great triumphs. This is 1986, again, not that long ago. And in Monroeville, Alabama, Walter was accused of murdering a young 18-year-old white woman. Now, Monroeville, Alabama is the hometown of Harper Lee, the writer of To Kill a Mockingbird. And that was set a number of years before 1986, and Monroeville was proud of being the hometown of Atticus Finch and kind of identified with that great act of justice. But here in Monroeville in 1986, Walter McWilliam was charged with murder, and it was a kangaroo court. He was immediately put on death row before the trial, and he was summoned from death row to the courtroom. And in the courtroom, three white witnesses were employed against him, and they all lied. Now, there were eyewitnesses who could place Walter at a church fish fry 11 miles from the scene of the murder at the time the murder took place, one of whom was a black police officer.
But they were not allowed to testify. And Brian Stevenson came into that courtroom and he demanded that they be given the right. Finally, one day they were allowed, and one woman, Mrs. Williams, kind of like my great-grandmother Mary Jane, was chosen to represent those six, and she approached the courtroom. But outside the courtroom stood a trooper with a German shepherd, and Mrs. Williams had been through the march on Selma, and she had been beaten and set upon by German shepherds, and she was deathly afraid of dogs. And when she saw that dog, she began to shake with fear, and she could not go into that courtroom. That evening, she came to Brian Stevenson. She came in tears and said, "Mr. Stevenson, I let you down. But I was terrified. I saw that dog, and I remembered Selma, and I could not go." And she left in tears. But that night, she prayed over and over again. She prayed, "I can't be afraid of no dog. Lord, I can't be afraid of no dog." The next day, she came to the courtroom. She walked right past the dog. And when the judge came in, everyone was standing, and then the bailiff told everyone to be seated. She didn't. She remained standing. And although she wasn't invited to, she announced to everyone, "I'm here!" We're not ashamed of Mrs. Williams. Walter McWilliam was found not guilty eventually. It wasn't through that courtroom. Brian Stevenson had to go to that other great court, 60 Minutes. And it was a 60 Minute documentary in 1992 that so outraged the nation that the case was retried. And Walter was set free, and this picture was taken on the day he came home. There is so much suffering in this world. There is so much injustice that happens. But Paul tells us, and we are to remember, that we have this treasure entrusted to us. Let that be kindled inside of you, whatever you're facing, whether it be an unjust world or an unjust cancer or an unjust disappointment in your life. Receive from the courageous forebears of your faith the truth of God's love, and know you are welcome to this table. I'm going to close with this icon. It was painted in 1410, but it is amazing. It's one of the first multimedia paintings of history. You have a beautiful rendition of the story of the feeding of angels unaware by Abraham in Genesis 18. Remember the story of the oaks of Mamre when three strange beings came to Abraham. And Christians have long seen this as the Trinity appearing in the Old Testament. Well, the artist Andrei Rublev, a Russian, painted this. You have God the Father in the left in the gold. You have Jesus in the blue in the center. You can see it. He's holding two fingers representing the unity of heaven and earth and of divinity and humanity. And he's in blue because heaven and the sea, the earth, have come together. And the red he's wearing is his blood underneath. And then the Holy Spirit there on the right side in the green, representing growth and life. And they all share the one cup. The interesting thing about icons is you always look in the icon for the figure that breaks the plane. Someone somewhere will touch the edge of the painting to let you know that this invites you into the world. In this icon, no one breaks the plane. But you know, they found in the center, if you can look under the cup, there's a little kind of square there, and as they did their work on that square, they found there was glue on that square. And most scholars believe that, in fact, a mirror was fastened to that painting, with the understanding that the observer would approach it and see that empty space where the Holy Spirit is beckoning, and look at that empty space and see their image there. The plane is broken with the understanding that you should not be ashamed. In fact, you are invited to sit at this table and live in this truth and share this triumph with our world. Let us pray. O gracious God, as we gather with all our Christian sisters and brothers around this world today, let us sit at your table and move from this table with your justice, your peace, your triumphant love to reach our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us join together now as a family in prayer. The response pattern is toward the center of the fourth page in your order of service. Let us join our hearts together. Let us pray. O gracious God, you are the one who had no shame in coming to us, in taking on our flesh, in taking on our sin. You entered our lives, our condition, to break the barriers of hostility and separation and to raise us in your life to eternal life and love. And in that truth, we know that you hear our prayers and answer. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, as we gather around your table with Christians around our world and throughout time, fill us with joy. Fill us with an awareness of your triumph and the truth of what you have entrusted to us, that we may entrust ourselves to you, and in that continue to work for love and joy out of the unconditional gift of your love working in our lives. And we pray for the people in places of violence in our world, in Syria, in Africa, in all those places of want and hunger and injustice. We pray for and give you thanks for our ancestors in our faith, for the women who courageously took up your faith, and in that leadership they have given to our church through the ages, have passed that faith on to us. For the men who have been their partners in that gift and sharing. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, listen as we pray for this, our family of Kingsway Lambton, for each person here this day, for their families and friends, for those about whom they are concerned, and those with whom they have differences. Be with each person in such a way that even in the face of suffering, of differences, of doubt, they may be stirred. They may not be ashamed to live from your love. We pray at this time especially for those who are grieving and remembering the loss of someone they love. We pray also for those who are ill, and we lift up Bill,
Mary Lynn as she supports him, Marg and Gord as he supports her, Kurt and Joan, Alistair and his family as he goes home after suffering a mild heart attack. We pray for Sue recovering from knee surgery and John as he supports her and Barbara and the family as she recovers from knee surgery, Colleen and family and Lanny and family. And we pray for our refugee family who draw one step closer to being home with us. And we pray for all those undergoing difficult challenges in their life, in relationships, with depression, with work, with school. Lord, may they feel the treasure that you have given them alive in their lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, listen as we bring you other concerns and other thanksgiving in the quiet of our own hearts. For all the silent prayers, come, Holy Spirit. You do keep on filling us. You never stop loving us. You never stop giving yourself for us. And in that treasure, may we grow. We give you our thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been good to share this Worldwide Communion Sunday with you. We celebrate those who are walking this day on Team Die Die, and are Wendy's winners out today, or is that was last week? 2 weeks ago, okay. Well, we celebrate them too. And we do celebrate the fact that Alistair is home today. Many of you will have heard that he suffered a heart attack, but we have a miraculous medical system, and it has worked its wonders. And Alistair is home today and feeling well. Our closing hymn this day is on your screen, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
communion to our homebound to come forward at this time. Receive these gifts. They are an extension of our table, an extension of Christ's table, who moves out into our world with triumphant grace. Are you here? Are you here?
Yes.
God is here and has given you a treasure. Go into the world, do not be ashamed. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you this day and forever. Amen. Go now in peace, go now in peace.